they had each of us pick out two people that inspired us. And so I wrote you a letter, and I want to read it to you. Okay. Dear Robert, I've got many heroes in my life, and they've all got a few things in common. They're servant-hearted, they are passionate about a cause, they love people, and they do everything it seems in life without ever seeking credit. From day one of the 14 months that I was blessed to spend out at Arlington as your interim pastor, from that day one, you welcomed me in and made me feel a part of not just something great, but a part of a family. You are the glue that holds our men's group together. Your heart for keeping up with all of us guys, modeling what it looks like to be in ministry to each other, and leading us men into mission to those less fortunate in our community inspires me, but not just me, all who know you. I know that many times after retirement and a distinguished career, folks often feel like their best days lay behind them, but you are a walking testimony that one's golden years can be the most valuable ones that you live, and that they can make one of the greatest impacts for God's kingdom. I think you embody Hebrews 10, verse 24 through 25, where it says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Robert, thank you for being my friend, for inspiring me on to good deeds, and for showing me in a quiet and beautiful, unassuming way just what a real hero looks like. I love you, brother.
That's, wasn't expecting that.
That was it. So thanks for showing up and letting me tell you how you inspire me.
Thank you.
Good morning. I guess it's still morning. Good morning. Robert was probably expecting to be called into the office because he had done something wrong. What am I doing here? And I get a compliment. Both men did a great job. I'm going to preach today out of Luke 1, 39 through 45. Bow with me in prayer. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for this great audience that are here, the people that come together to worship you. Thank you, God, because you are here with us, and we bless you, and we lift you up, and we praise you. Fill us, God, with you today. Fill us till we just bubble over with your presence today. In your name, amen. Luke, the first chapter, the 39th verse says, "And at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to town in a city called Judah, and where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby in her womb leaped, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of the Lord has come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her.'" We are concluding the sermons, I think, on affirmation, on compliment, on showing people you care or telling them how great they are. The sermon's anointed to affirm. And this is a story about a person who's just in the Bible because she was there to affirm the mother of Jesus. The mothers came together, both of them pregnant. One of them was, and they were, the word they used for their relationship was cousins. If you look in the Greek, it could be used as some kind of relation. It could be an aunt, some kind of relation. I think it might have been an aunt because she was older. That's my story. I'm a doctor. This is why. That's how I win my arguments. Well, I'm a doctor. But Elizabeth was older, but she was pregnant. And Mary was just a young girl and wasn't even married yet. She was engaged, but she was pregnant. And both of them were, you know, they shouldn't have been. I mean, one of them was not married. The other one was old. The one was going to have the baby in the geriatrics ward. And the other one was like, I don't. And so they got together, about a seven-day journey between them on foot. And they got together. Now, sometimes if you have gone through something, you're able to identify with that. And so Mary was pregnant with the baby Jesus. But Martha was pregnant being too old. And so perhaps she had an identification with that because people were saying, boy, I think she's pregnant. And she looks pretty old. I don't know. But they were having the babies. Unexpected babies. Unexpected gifts from God bring blessings, but they also bring curses. Now let that baby go in there because I like that for this sermon. Is it a she or a he? She is with me. I think she may be a Baptist. Oh, boy. In Baptist churches, they say amen. You know, you're sitting here, you just preach, amen. You go, oh. Neither should have been pregnant. One of them was pregnant with the baby Jesus. The other one was pregnant and was blessed and was called to affirm the other one. Mary was called to affirm. That's the only reason she's in the Bible. She's an affirmer. Mary was in a complicated situation. She was just a practitioner. She was going to go through the process of having this baby. But Martha was there to say, good girl, go girl. Go girl, that's marvelous that you're having the baby Jesus. Elizabeth was a supporter and a praiser. Her purpose was, calling was to praise. Now, I have the same kind of calling. I have the same one. Elizabeth and I are so much alike. We even kind of favor, I'm pretty sure. Not young and healthy, but a good praiser. And we can do that right up till we die. We're good at that. Now look at verse 39. It says, now Mary, this is point one, anointed to affirm. Now Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth, and then spoke with a loud, and then she spoke with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women. Now this was the announcement, the first announcement of Jesus Christ on this earth. It's an unbelievable story. And there was going to be some criticism, I'm pretty sure. I mean, she didn't know for sure what Elizabeth was going to say when she walked in the door. She had no clue. She hoped she'd get affirmed, but she wasn't sure of it. I mean, it was, and you can't even blame them. I have been, as a pastor all my life, I've never had a job, wherever our job, Dan is over there. I never even had a job. I've been only a pastor. My dad was a pastor. My father-in-law was a pastor. My uncles were pastors. I don't even know how to put the little card in the thing that clicks and all. I did KP duty for the Navy before I when I was in high school, so I talked back to my past experience in labor. But I was always a pastor, in college before I even graduated. But when she showed up there, the Bible says she spoke with a loud voice. Blessed are you. Mary shows up to the door, and this was an encourager. Now I don't know if Mary was depressed. I don't know. I don't know if she walked up and said, you know, I've had some problems. Some people have been saying some things. I don't even know. She didn't give her a chance. Before she even opened her mouth, she said, blessed are you. Just last week, we were watching the smaller grandkids, Kazan's children, and we went to, after flag ball practice, we went to ice cream as a reward. And Kathy was up there with her, using her gift of affirmation with all the girls and boys behind the counter. You know, oh, that's great. Really? Oh. I don't know what she said, but it was really marvelous. And me and the kids were sitting here with ice cream, and I had coffee, and we're sitting there. And when Kathy finally comes over, my granddaughter says, rule number one when you go to the restaurant, you don't talk to everybody in the restaurant. And then Augie, who's a little bit younger, says, and rule number two is, don't listen to your granddaughter. Mary was called to be an encourager. And Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit. She was called, and the Holy Spirit anointed her in blessing people. What a calling. I mean, I have the same one. It's a great one. Elizabeth, anointed to be an affirmer. Blessed is the fruit of your heritage. Anointed by the Holy Spirit to reassure people that they're good people. Anointed by them. Some of you have this calling. Some of you sitting right here have this calling. Now, I want you to use it. Even though your husband and our wife, well, they don't like it always because they want to go ahead with the meal. But I want you to use it. I want God to confirm people through you. Some are not called for this. You're not called for this. Don't even try it. It won't work. They'll say, boy, you're kind of crazy. They say that about us too, the other way. You're not the kind to do that. I do not want, when I'm laying on the operating table and the doctor is cutting me open for surgery, I don't want him to be an affirmer. I want him to be a guy who notices all the problems. You with me? Oh, he's such a, look at him laying there. He looks so nice. No, I want him to cut me right. I want a critique guy. But some of you are because affirmers. Now, we got to have us. We got to have the affirmers. Because there are many people who wake up, some of right here in this room, who woke up this morning, and the first thing that comes to your mind is how bad you are, how evil you are, how you're not going to accomplish anything. You'll never amount to anything. You're ugly. Look at you. And they hear that voice from years of hearing those kind of things from the people around them. And they need us. There's some of them that that have no, they think negatively, automatically. And so nobody approves them. Nobody says you're wonderful. They need a Elizabeth to walk in with a loud voice and say, welcome, you are marvelous. I affirm you. I believe in you. Till this very day, I have students to send me emails. It'll happen probably today. Almost all the time. And they say, thank you for believing in me. I didn't even know I believed in them. I thought they were just great because they were great. I thought my boys were the greatest thing that ever was. I thought they was marvelous. I told them all the time. Well, somebody in my family says, you know, what if they don't grow up great? You're going to let them down. I said, I'll just be surprised. I think they're great. Elizabeth and I were called to affirm. Blessed are you among women. Do not make people guess that you affirm them. If you affirm them, say, good job. Good job. Good guitar playing shots. Good guitar playing. That's valuable somewhere. I had to be cute. That's valuable in church and in bars, and we got you here. Sometimes I do say the cutest things. When I was pastoring, I would frequently have people trying to make their kids behave. You know, stop it. Quit touching your sister. If one more thing will be the straw that breaks the camel's back. I was older before I even could figure out what that actually meant. And I used to come home and I'd hear that. And I'd come home from church and I would say, I'm going to catch, to my kids, I'd pull them in and I'd say, if I catch you doing something great today, I'm going to reward you. And I would look around for them to do something and then we'd get candy or we'd go to the ice cream store or we would whatever. We'd do something because I would catch them doing something wonderful. When my younger boy, I don't know how old you are when you start T-ball, 4, 5? Playing T-ball, and I went out to his practices. Now, he was not the coach's kid. I'm not a baseball kind of guy. I played a little bit in high school, but I wasn't that good at it. I went to watch him play, and the coach's kids get the right spots. They get first base and shortstop and second base, and Landon just roaming around out in the field. Landon could actually play. He was a good player, but he didn't get a good position in T-ball. And so when he gets up to bat, I go down there, you know, and I get behind the screen, you know. That's my fingers going through the screen. Can y'all picture this? And I'm behind the screen going, now just firmly hit it hard. Now what? Draw back and crack that thing, boy. And he did. He drew back and hit that thing. It was a grounder, but it was a nice one. It went straight beside the pitcher, out into the outfield on the grass. Beautiful. And so I didn't know if he would run or not. I hadn't coached him to do that. And so I ran with him down the first baseline. Run, Landon, run, Landon, run, Landon. He gets to first base. I'm still saying run. And the coach is saying stop, stop. He didn't hear that coach. He hears me. And he turns and goes to second base. I went around behind the backstop, got on third base, and I'm over here going, run, Landon, run, Landon. He's running like crazy. The ball's going all kinds of places. Nobody can catch. Run, Landon. He turns third base. That coach is going, stop, stop. Turns the line. And I run with him down third baseline. And I'm running with him. Slide, slide, slide. He didn't slide, but it would have been a better sermon if he would have. And so we go home and we fix up the living room. There's home plate. There's first base. And we ran around the living room just like he hit a massive home run. It goes longer now than it did in when he actually did it. But it was a marvelous day. I'm a good encourager. That's my calling. The other parents would say, well, get up here and lead us all in cheer. And I'd cheer all the parents. We would cheer together in those days. What if Mary was wrong? What if she was lying? What if she had sinned? What if she was doing something incorrect? Listen, you do not support the sin, but you still support Mary. You still support the human. You don't have to support everything about you support the sinner, but not the acts that they did. You say, you know, you're a great person, but you did something wrong. That's true. But you're still a great person. This punishment I'm giving is a reminder. But you're still a great person. Kathy's brother is a superintendent of a bunch of churches in Europe, several hundred churches, I think, over there. But when he was in college, he was going to fly out of town, and before he got, he had to do one more paper, and he just rushed through it, getting everything ready, and just handed in any kind of paper to the professor. And when he got back on the Monday, the paper was graded, but it had a note at the top, and the note was from the professor. It said, I cannot believe the name at the top of this paper. An excellent student that's very articulate, and here you are turning in a paper at this level. My brother-in-law said, hey, and he got a low grade on the paper. He said, he made me feel great even though he was correcting me. I got the low grade, but I still felt like I was somebody. You follow what I'm getting at here? You've got to be a person who, you don't condemn them for life. The kid steals candy. You don't say, you're a thief. You're going to go to prison just like your cousin Jimmy. I just stole a little piece of it. It was so tempting. You're a liar. You said something that wasn't true. I heard Kathy one time telling some kid, boy, that's a great imaginative story. That's super. Am I in the center here? That's super. What a story. It's not true, but you could be a creative writer. Now, you're going to get punished because this wasn't a true story. But, see, you don't condemn a person for life. You condemn the sin, but not the person. You're a good girl who did something wrong. Your actions are wrong, but you are a great human being. We should practice that. I don't know. If your child is going through some kind of confusion or gender identification confusion or atheist or drugs things or something, you don't kick them out. They got caught drinking or something. You don't say, well, you're an alcoholic. You know, half our family, the Mentors, you know, half of them are drunks. You're going to be just like the family. You don't do that. You say, you love them through that situation they're going through. You meet with them. Oh, mama, I feel like I'm somebody. No, I don't care who you feel like. You're daddy's girl. And I'm going to take you out every Thursday night for ice cream or candy or a coffee. And we're going to meet together and we're going to talk. I'm going to go in the bedroom and pray with you before you go to bed every night. You love that child so much that they can never say, Daddy kicked me out, Daddy didn't care for me, Daddy didn't love me, or Mama didn't, whatever you are. God will love your child through you if you do it right. You with me? Man, this is good stuff. I think I should get my offering doubled. That'd be 2 zeros. Not paid. I'm just here because I'm so sweet. Love that child back. Satan condemns that child every day and tells them how bad they are, how stupid they are, how long their arms are, how big their nose is, their hair isn't right. The Satan tells them every day, you lay down your life for that child every day like Christ did. Lay down your life for them. Satan condemns them, but you lay down your life and raise them up. Point number two, honor and affirm. It is an honor to affirm. Mary said, Elizabeth said, but why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Oh, I'm so honored. It's an honor to have you as my child. I'm glad God brought you into our home. Man, these girls up here leading this, leading the prayer. Weren't we proud of her? Our Father who art in heaven. Oh, she gets applause. Don't stand up and take a bow, baby. That's later. And the girls with the movements, they got everybody to do them, except for me. I have no rhythm. Where was the claps, the applause? Advent is honored to have the children here. We're honored to have you here. We're honored to have the grandparents here. And we're going to feed all of you until you spiritually mature. We're good at it. We're going to feed you and feed you. If you have children, you make sure they're in church. I always made sure my children were in church, and both of them came out marvelous. I wanted them to grow academically. I didn't let them off academically. I made them good with going to work and doing the jobs they had to do, and I also made them grow spiritually, socially and spiritually. It's important to hold these things high. Make sure that as a Memphis, God has put this church in Memphis to be affirm the city of Memphis. God put us here for that. Now let's make sure we welcome everybody. Overdo it. Welcome everybody. You don't have to do as bad as me, but I mean overdo it for yourself. Make sure, now listen to me, that this community looks like the neighborhood. If you drive down through the town, our church better look like the community. Now we got to get there. If you have to put people in your car and bring them, let's bring some people that are different races, ages, and classes of people and bring them into here and make this church look like the community. My mother was a great affirmer person. She called it an honor to have us all, our children. My mother was so good. She died at 93. And at that age, when you die, all your friends are dead. Nobody shows up. You with me? It's okay to live that long. I'm trying. But if you're 93 and you die, there's usually 30 people at your funeral. She had 500 people at her funeral. It was executives. It was people, the head of companies, and all kinds of people who grew up in our churches as children. And she would still, till she was old, send them little notes saying, I was just thinking of you. You're so great. She would send me a letter every occasionally, a little note, and it would be, to my darlingest, child Terry and his beautiful wife Kathy. Ah, that was my mother, and she would lift you up. Before I went to school every day, my mother would greet me, take me out to the door, and she'd open the door and she'd say, "Now go to school. Remember, you're very smart and you're beautiful. But beauty pretty is as pretty does." I liked all of it, but that last part. Now, I have another friend whose mother was very good at belittling. And his mother was afraid he was going to get a complex. And so she would say different things to belittle him, like what he was wearing or his hair or his whatever. And she would belittle him. One time I remember him saying that his mother said, "Stand up straight. You are slunkering down so bad that your knuckles are dragging the ground like an ape. Go to school, you know." Now, which one of us faced? Now, he wasn't better looking or worse looking. We were both about the same looks, but I went to school feeling like I was pretty. Hi, how you doing? Good to see you. He went to school feeling like an ape. You follow what I'm saying? If you if you tell a kid and a person how great they are enough, they start believing you. I might not even be smart. I might get to heaven and realize I'm not even smart. I have 2 doctorates. I might go to heaven. You know what? I wasn't even that smart. Mama said I was. Mary received affirmation from Elizabeth. Mary, I'm sure, was worried about some things, not only what the community would say. She was even thinking, what if I drop the baby? Don't give him to Joseph, that carpenter. What does the Messiah eat? Does he eat peanut butter and jelly? Do I have to only get angel fruit cake? What do I call him? Stop crying. Would you please, Your Honor, Your Majesty, you're crying a little too much. There was a lot of questions going on, but Elizabeth immediately said, "You're great. You're marvelous. We need more Elizabeths in this world. Be approachable. Be approachable to even people in the store lines, the dentist. I know it's hard, but compliment the dentist, waitresses, the flag football coach, lawyers, managers. Be complimentary of people all the time. Be an affirmer. Let them know that you care for them. People have to go to work. Why don't you just make it a better day for them, you and your table?" We had a lady, my father-in-law and I. My father was a wonderful pastor, my father-in-law. And we were at a table, he and I and Kathy and my mother-in-law. And this waitress was grumpy. She's like, what? And could you speak up? And so she went away, and my mother-in-law said, she was grumpy. I said, I bet she's had a bad day. And so when she came back, I said, have you had kind of a hard day? Has it? Oh, yeah. The one worker didn't come in. I've been here 9 hours. I said, but we love you. We think you're marvelous. Would you mind just walking by our table every now and then? And then we'll compliment you. We'll give you, and we're going to give you a nice tip at the end of this. My father-in-law is very rich. I thought of it so I could say what I want. That girl was so enlightened. She just hung around us. And in 2 weeks, she was at our church. She came to church because I wanted to lift her up. Number three, enjoy the Lord. It happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb. Enjoy the Lord. Enjoy the Lord. Laugh. Enjoy. Be happy. There was a boy who needed some money, and so he a bottle of liquor out of his dad's cabinet and went over to the neighbor and said, "Hey, I'm selling some liquor. Would you like to buy some?" And he goes, "Does this face look like the face of a person who would participate in alcoholic beverages?" "Oh, you're right, sir. Sorry. Would you like some lemons?" Sometimes we look. We don't have a spirit of appreciation, of happiness and joy. And we're Christians. We're going to heaven, for heaven's sake. Be happy. Rejoice together. Laugh. The baby John felt the joy of the Lord when Mary walked in with baby Jesus so much he leaped. Now, the problem with that is Presbyterians don't leap. We don't. It doesn't come out. But a few weeks ago, the youth band was here. There's 4 or 5 youth over there. Kind of not as many as normal. The better looking ones are here today, though. But normally it's like 2-3 rows of them over there. And they're sitting there. And they had the youth band up here. I don't know how good they were and all that, but we were singing. I thought they were fine. And we went through a song and we sang the song service. Then they had announcements. And then they got up with another song at the end of it. And we're all just sitting down. We didn't stand. We're just sitting there. And then somehow they went through it, and he went through it the second time. Did anybody remember this but me? And the second time they went through it, somebody over there on that side, about 4 rows back on the organ side, stood up and started raising their hands. And then somebody else did, and somebody else did. And then this row set up, and then this group set up. And finally, the more or less religious side over here stood up, and we're all praising God. We praise God, too. We Presbyterians do. We just have to know that the baby's here. When the baby shows up, we'll praise God too, like everybody else. Jesus is in this house. Number four, it's a blessing to believe. It said, whoever becomes a blessing, verse 45, blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment in those things which were told her from the Lord. You choose to believe. It's not an accident. You get up every day and you say, "God, I believe in you. I believe in Jesus Christ." Blessed are those who choose to believe. Doing godly things. Sometimes we get caught up even doing godly things to where it becomes work and not a blessing. We choose to believe. Wherever Mary's baby boy goes, He brings blessings. And it's a blessing to be in the house. This is his house. This church right here is his house. We are blessed to be here. I also want to, my dad used to say, in my house, we will serve the Lord. My dad would say that. I want us to be, you as parents, to gather your family around. I think you do it every day. And you talk to them. And even at the dinner table is what we used to do. And before we would eat, we would sit there and everybody gets to talk, even while we're eating. And if the little kid, you know, everybody has to be quiet. You don't butt in on the little child. And you let everybody, and you affirm everybody. You make them feel affirmed every day. You can do that after dinner or whatever. And you let every child know, I believe in you. I believe in you. You bring joy to this home. You bring happiness here. Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit. I have four concluding points. They have nothing to do with the sermon, but it's what I wanted to preach. One is, concluding point is, you have to submit to each other. Somebody asked me, how would we stay married? We're both type A personalities. She was a school principal. I was a pastor. We've been married 53 years. If that's wrong, don't correct me right here in front of everybody. 53 years. We had to be able to submit to each other sometimes and say, I'm sorry. And, you know, you had to do that. Number two, prize diversity. Every child is not the same. We have one child who's just a personality plus, religious, godly, wit. You know, he's the most godly kid, off to college, breaking our hearts. We have a good JUCO right here. But he goes off to go to be a minister. Well, he's different. Then you got the daughter next to him is a singer. She hadn't got his personality, but man, she can sing. And I wish I could do what she does. She's diverse. And then you got the next one who's so smart that she scares us all. And then you got the last one who came straight from heaven without any, you know. You got the four. You find diversity. In our church group, we have to have diversity. We've got to find it. We've got to value diversity. Number three, short accounts. You don't keep long accounts. You forgive. You can get mad, but don't hold it. Give it up. And say, I'm sorry, and get forgiveness. And number four, have an atmosphere of enjoyable fun. It's good to be in God's house. It's good to be in God's house. It's good to be loved. It's good to be surrounded by people who are of the same spirit we're of. Bow with me. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for being God. Thank you, God, because you called us to be special people. God, today I want to thank you especially for these encouragers that are here. The others are important too, but some of these, God, we have a large number at this church because of Pastor Dave and the way he formed this church. But we have a large number that are full of the affirming spirit. I want you to anoint them and bless them. God, let them, God, pull people around them and tell them how great they are. We bless you today and we glorify you in your name. Amen.